everyone. Welcome to the podcast. This week, I'm chatting with Australian artist Amica Wincop, and I absolutely love Amica's work. In this episode, she chats about finding her style, facing her fears, and making the decision to stop hustling so hard. This is a refreshing and honest conversation, and the message is so important for all artists. I won't say too much because I want to get straight into the episode. Let's hear from Amica. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you for asking me.
I have a huge crush on your art, so I'm going to just admit that now.
Oh, that's good. I have the same feeling about you. I feel like we've got the same sort of thing, kind of the feel happening, this sort of like...
And you have those lovely sort of organic rock-shaped forms, and I just love that. You know, I live on a pebbly beach and it just connects with me. So whenever I see your art, I just feel such a pull towards it.
Oh, that's so cool. Thank you.
I'm sure that my listeners are going to really enjoy hearing about your journey, and I'll be encouraging them to go and check you out over on Instagram and on your website. But one of the things that I guess inspired me to ask you to come on the podcast was because I saw a post that you put on Instagram recently and it really hit home. When I read it, I was like, oh, I relate to this so much, because you talked about when you jump into an art business and you're following your passion and you really want to get it off the ground and you just work so hard at it, and it can become so consuming in a way that it can become kind of unhealthy and a bit destructive.
Yeah, no, it's so hard. It does, because it's all so exciting and you want it so much. And it's almost like it becomes like an addiction or overwhelm, and then you just can't get out of it.
It was lovely to read your post because you talked about some of the changes that you've made. And I was just hoping today that we could dive in a bit deeper with that, and you could share your story, sort of how you got into art, how you got so consumed by it, and then what you've done to kind of, I know you've mentioned that, you know, that you don't really believe in the idea of balance as such, but we could talk about some of the changes that you've made that are improving, I guess, the way that you approach your art life. So
yeah, sure, that sounds good.
All right, so that's in a nutshell, but let's go back a little bit. And can you tell me a bit about how you got started with art?
Oh, well, I used to be an art teacher. I've always been, you know, into art and creative. But I think it was really only a couple of years ago when I decided, like, yep, I'm going to, you know, I've noticed that there's heaps of other people doing it. Why can't I? And I just sort of jumped into it. And because I always wanted to be like a proper artist, you know, like a full-time, like living the dream, like a real one. Not just a hobby one at home.
I think there'll be many people who relate to that idea of this real artist.
Yeah, I know. I had so many, I was so scared about so many things. So it was real for me. It sounds so silly. I remember posting something about how I was trying to be brave and show people my work, and someone sort of paid me out, like, oh yes, you're so brave putting your painting up on Instagram. But I was so nervous because I was afraid that what if I put it out there and actually I'm not actually very good, and then people say, oh, you're not very good, and then yeah, I really aren't really very good, or people are going to reject me, or I'm going to be misunderstood, or there's no room in the market for what I'm doing anyway, so what's the point? You know, all those fears that you have that you think, is this a complete waste of time? You know, so you have to like face them and keep reminding yourself that there's, but by doing it, it's kind of stressful because you're sort of challenging your own fears that are pretty, they're not really true. They're a little bit irrational, really. And once you face them, you realize, oh, it's not really that big a deal. And people are so kind and so lovely. It's not as scary as all the stuff that we go have gibbery jabbering up in our head.
It's a real mental game, isn't it?
Yeah, so mental. It's so mental. So true.
So you were teaching art, and were you teaching at high school or where?
Yeah, at high school. Mm-hmm. I was actually a year 4 to year 12 art teacher.
So how long were you doing that for before you decided to take the leap into being an artist full time?
Well, so before I was teaching at school, I was kind of doing like little commissions and little, I was pretty much a full-time mum, and then just doing art on the side and relief teaching. And then I went back into teaching, and I was only there for a couple of years, but I loved it. But then I really got the urge to really like, oh, you know, I keep telling all the students, go for it, you can do it, and you have so much potential, but I'm not doing it myself. Like, I'm not. So that was the real impetus to like to go and have a crack.
So did you leave your job and did you have this sort of realization, or how did that happen?
Well, actually, I was really lucky because my husband, I sort of took 6 months off. So I had this, I didn't feel like I had a style that was original or unique in any way. And so I took 6 months off, and I sort of put this pressure on myself that by the end of 6 months, I'm going to have this amazing style. I'm going to be a full real artist, and it's all going to fall into place. And so I really stressed myself out in that period of time because I wasn't earning anything, and I felt like this was a real privilege and blessing that I'd been given to do that. So, you know, I'd go in and I'd paint every day, and I'd feel like I wouldn't be coming up with anything. And so many times I'd be crying because I would feel like, oh, gosh, I'm failing at this. Like, I haven't actually got it. I'm not actually – maybe am I even an artist at all? Like, maybe this is just an all illusion in my mind. And so I think at the end of the 6 months, I've done so much work, and I'd processed a lot of information, but I hadn't come up with anything that I felt was authentic to me, I suppose. And I remember going to a counsellor and saying to her, oh, I thought I was going to be an artist, and I've run out of time, and I'm not, and I suck, and I've got nothing. And so she made me do this art therapy type exercise, and like in my journal, and I came back with it, and she was like, oh my goodness, how can you say you're not an artist? Because I had this abstract, crazy stuff happening everywhere that was really beautiful. And then she pointed to all the stick figures on the wall of other people's, you know, exercise, and she's like, I thought you were going to come back with, you know, something like that. So she just said, you just need to start believing in yourself and start taking yourself seriously that you're an artist, and stop questioning yourself, basically. And then something just snapped, and I was like, yeah, I do. I've just got to stop doubting it.
It's incredible, isn't it, the way that the confidence part of it all is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so important.
Like, you had it there, but you couldn't see it.
Yeah, you can't see it. Yeah, and you feel like it's got to be at some level. You know, you can be a crap artist. Doesn't mean you can be any kind of artist. But, I think definitely having reassurance from other people, because that was actually the first time I'd probably shown anyone my work that was my own, you know, without it looking like somebody else's work.
So where did you go from there once you started building that confidence?
So then I read lots of books, like Elizabeth Gilbert, It's Big Magic.
I love that book too.
That helped. And Steal Like an Artist by Austin Kleon. Oh, and listen to so, like, I just really educated myself on my weaknesses, which was being my confidence. And so, and then I decided, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to paint a body of work that I'm really proud of, and then I'm just going to start showing it. And my goal was just to have an exhibition before I died. That literally was all I wanted to do. And then I thought that would be enough. And so that's how I just started. And then I just started showing people, and made it like an Instagram account. And that was amazing because you get so much beautiful feedback. It's really encouraging and supportive. And finding like-minded people as well. So
how did you go about, I guess, developing that style that you were looking for? Like, how did that kind of come? Because when I look at your work now, it's got such a strong style. It's very well, very cohesive. How did that happen?
that was a total accident because now you keep evolving and changing. But in the beginning, it was in that 6 month period when I thought I had nothing, and I'd been to the counselor, and I come back and I had this little shed full of like all these canvases that I thought were crap. And so I thought, well, I've got to do something with this now. So I just started painting into them, like just painting white into them and getting rid of the bits that I didn't like. And then I was so excited because I came up with this pebbly thing, and I remember feeling like, oh my gosh, this feels so true to me. And so I love doing this whole thing, like taking away the parts and finding all the cool things that were in the painting. And I rushed indoors and I showed my husband and my kids, and like, oh, I figured it out. I've done it. I have a style. And they just all looked at me like, oh, yeah. And I got nothing. I was like, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. That's something that I would do and I would get the same response.
So I was like, no more. I'm not going to my pet. I'm not going to my husband or my kids for any kind of encouragement here. I knew inside me that what I had created was, I felt like, really true. And then I just kept pushing that and sticking with that one thing and pushing it.
That can be hard to do, but you certainly see the rewards when you stick with something and keep developing and evolving it rather than, you know, bouncing around and going off to the next new thing. And
oh, yes, you do. It's so true. Because that's one of my problems, is that I get so excited about all the things, like, because you can do collage and you can do, you know, there's so many things you can do. And then for me, my whole mantra has been just to keep simplifying it, because our lives are so busy. And I know that if I have this, I keep wanting to change and do something else, and I am slowly, but I feel like I have this one style and I'm going to push it as far as I can go and do as much with it as I can and keep developing it. It just helps my brain to, like, just stay, and also to keep mastering that craft or whatever the philosophy I have behind my artwork is, to keep developing that too. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I could see that in your work. Like, you see that mastery that you have with the way that you use your materials and you simplify the shapes and the different colour palettes you use. So even though you're, you know, staying within, I guess, some parameters, it's still very exciting. It's still evolving, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is. It's super fun. And it's super fun to feel like you're making progress or getting better, or you're, like, you know, getting more ease and comfortable within yourself.
So once you started putting your work out there and you had found this style and got very excited about it, then what happened?
Well, then, you know, it's so funny because I did 15 pieces and I started showing people, and I was just like an email, like a crazy person. I was sending it out to everyone and I was pretending I was, like, super confident and, like, had no fear. And actually I tricked myself into, like, if someone said no, I actually really didn't. I got to the place where I didn't take it personally, and that was good. But I remember I got accepted by a gallery, and I was so excited that this gallery wanted to take me on that we drove, I think it was 14 hours or something, to take the work personally, drop it off, because for me that was, like, just the hugest thing because I had blown it up so big. I don't know why. I thought it was this huge, and it is a wonderful thing, but in my mind it was this huge, giant achievement. And, you know, so that. But then, do you know what happened? Is, like, I was settling into that and starting to keep going, and then someone showed me an artist who had done something really similar to my work, and I remember feeling, like, gutted, like I was going to quit everything and hang it all in, because I was like, oh, well, there it is. Someone's already done this. I'm not actually original. I'm not unique. That was really hard. I nearly quit everything that, you know, then. But then I had to realize, go back and go, okay, no, that's not, my work is a little bit different. I've got a different intention. And so I've got to stop looking at what other people do and just stay in my own lane.
That's very interesting. And I think that happens more and more these days, because there is so many artists, and there are artists that are arriving in a similar place and they've never even heard about each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that
yeah.
is happening. And I see it all the time. But it's hard, isn't it, when you feel like you've come up with something that's really unique and different, and then you see something, you're like, oh, that's kind of similar. It's even more similar in your mind than it actually is. So,
yeah,
like what you were talking about, when you actually break it down, it's different. You're coming at it from a different angle. But because you have that, I guess, that worry deep down about your work being authentic, you go to that place of the worst kind of situation or scenario.
I know, dear. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm so glad that you were able to work through that, but that must have been challenging.
It was challenging. But yeah, it was challenging in the beginning when other people started copying my style too. But and so you must find that as well. Like, but I think now I know that it's so hard, like, to actually get out there, and, you know, it's hard work to do all these things and to have a business as an artist, and you can't really you can't really be successful copying someone else's stuff for very long. and it doesn't feel like a threat to me anymore. At the start, when I was all precious and, you know, nervous, it really worried me. But now it's like, oh, go for it. If you, you know, it's full on. It's full on to be in business.
You don't have the time to be worrying about that kind of stuff, do you? Like, you don't want to waste your energy on that when you could be creating or, you know, doing something else. And, you know, so yeah, I think that's a healthy way to approach it, is to sort of let it go a little bit, isn't it? So anyway, what happened? You took your work to the gallery because it was a big deal, which it is.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And then, as you said, you found out that someone was making something similar. That kind of affected you, your confidence a little bit, but you moved on from that. So then where did you go?
Well, so it's been like a roller coaster. So I suppose what it is like, at the bottom of everything, I think I have this fear that I'm not doing enough, or I'm not enough, or it's not going to be enough, or it's, you know, all that I'm not enough, all that stuff that we always keep. It seems to be like the root of everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like all these little things, like, you know, so facing that fear, like, okay, what, first of all, am I even an artist? And then second of all, what if I'm crap? And third of all, what if I make no money and I've just wasted my husband's time and my family's time and I could have been doing something else and pursuing something else? So, like, when you face all those worries and fears, you don't just fix everything all at once. So, like, I fixed the fear of showing people my work and going, oh, yeah, actually, that's really good, Amica, and I feel really proud of myself. I sort of got over that one, and then you're like, oh well, am I doing a good enough job? Am I wrapping my work properly? Am I doing this properly? Am I promoting myself on Instagram properly? Am I copying other people? I don't want to do that. And, you know, you keep questioning all these little underground fears. So you've got to keep like chopping them off and addressing them every day. It's like, and I think that's where I started at that stage, when every afternoon we'd be having a bottle of wine together, or like, you know, just to de-stress and just to like, and I started putting on weight and not thinking about what I was doing, because I was just so focused on trying to be a pro. Like, I was acting like a pro, but I wasn't really a pro yet. Like, I was still a baby learner, beginner. And so that gets stressful. You know that saying, it's like, you want to be somewhere that you're not really being present where you are. The stress is coming because you're not feeling like you're there. You haven't got there yet. And so now I feel like I'm trying to be more present and more in touch with what I'm doing, and let all those, you know, I don't know if that just made sense.
It truly did. And I really appreciate you talking through some of this harder stuff, because often it kind of gets, you know, swept under the table, but it's really difficult dealing with some of this stuff as an artist, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so difficult. It's so difficult. And there's all these, and you have to keep, there's so many things that you can try. Like, you could try going to a fair, like an art fair, for example, and they all involve, like, for me, I'm more confident now, but I used to be quite shy and socially awkward person. And I went to a fair and I was so nervous and having to talk to people about my work. And then, you know, I didn't sell one thing, but next to me, this other person was just, the artwork was flying off the racks. And I was like, what am I doing? Oh my gosh. You know, and then you can see other artists around who weren't selling it, and it starts doing your head in. By the end of the fair, you're like, you're doubting everything and comparing yourself to everybody else. And it's, so there's so many things that you have to deal with as an artist, that if you put yourself in these positions where, especially when you're, you know, not particularly liking, you know, what's it called when you're an introvert, a bit more introverted?
I can really relate to the way that you talk about, you know, you get over one fear and then it's just the next one.
Yeah, I know. Probably going to be like that till the day we die, I suppose.
Because there's just so many layers to it all, and you get comfortable with sharing your work on Instagram, but then, as you say, you're in an art fair, it's a different kind of sharing and interacting with people and seeing what's going on either side of you, and it all has this effect on you, and you've got to keep it all in check, don't you?
Yeah, all the time, like every day. And it's so easy to just get lost and then forget what the heck we were there for in the first place.
Yeah, that's true, because you're comparing and you're thinking about things, and then you can forget that you came at art because you loved making things, and
yeah. Well, I can remember like painting is the most when I'm really in it. Like actually painting is the most calming, relaxing, beautiful experience, and I just get lost in this. You know, like I feel like it's a meditation. But at some point earlier on, and sometimes if I'm really stressed, I'm like listening to something while I'm painting and I'm planning, oh my goodness, okay, I better be videoing this while I'm doing this right now because I've got to make an Instagram post and I've got to get that on at 6 o'clock and I've got to make, you know, and then, oh, I haven't got a GoPro, I better sticky tape my phone to this chair and angle it up here, and, you know, then you've just lost this whole, everything, and I find myself doing that and then getting back to being present in the thing that you love doing, because you can feel it in your work when you're present.
Yeah, because I can remember times when I was posting on Instagram every day and kind of felt a pressure about that. And yeah, there'd be times where I'd be like, oh, I need to get into my studio and paint because I need to post something, you know?
I know. I've had that too. It's so silly. It's really silly sausageness.
Yeah, and I just have to like catch myself out, you know, and basically give myself a good shake and go, that's ridiculous.
I know.
So, but yeah, you can get into this headspace where you're like, oh, I need to do this and I need to post this at this time and, you know, I should be sharing this with so-and-so and send this email, and you just get in this whirlwind.
really quick.
That can quicker
take, than you realize.
That can take you away from your enjoyment of the process, the actual making of the art. So what changes have you made since you kind of realized that things were getting into that unhealthy zone?
Well, last year, like probably towards the beginning of last year, I was like, holy heck, I can hardly even remember this last year. It just feels like a blur of just constant pushing pressure. I need to get back and get healthy again. That was like my first priority. And I need to be present with my family when we're, you know, like, because I'd be cooking dinner and posting on Instagram and stuff like that, which I'm not even, you know, so I'm not really enjoying making the meal. Everything's rushed and I'd be turning up to the gym with my pants on inside out because I'm late because I've just posted something, you know. So it was like slowing everything down. Like, this is not a race. This is a marathon, and a pretty marathon. You can stop and have a sleep here and there, and you can stop and smell the roses. And, you know, it's not a desperation urgency. It's if you don't do everything on your list for that day. And so that really helped. That really helped to slowing. And I just, you know, every afternoon I just lock in and I go to the gym, and it's a lovely way to de-stress. And it's not like I'm not a gym junkie or anything, but I just find that exercise really helps. And then, you know, eating healthier and not obviously drinking my every night is not a healthy, you know, it's not that great for you, you know. So just noticing, okay, I'm not eating well, I'm not exercising, I'm not being present, turning my phone off, putting it on like do not disturb while I'm painting, because often I'll have it on and get into, and I'll do something in the middle of painting or in the middle of dinner, or so that's, you know, just being mindful about those things. And then, do you know that story? There's a really cool story of like a teacher who told his students that story about he put cups into a glass, rocks into a glass, and he was like, oh, is this full? And the kids are like, yes. And then he adds little pebbles and they said, is it full? And he's like, yes. And then he adds sand. Do you know that story? And then it's like the cup was already full and he just kept putting more stuff in. And then he tried it the other way around and put just the sand in first, and the sand was all like really full to the top of the glass type of thing. So the whole basic story was that, you know, the sand is all the unimportant waste of time crap that we fill our lives with that take over most of our time, and the rocks are the important things, you know, like your family and your health and your love for your art or whatever it is, your passion is. And that little story was helpful to me, because that was like I was filling my life up with running around with things that weren't really important.
Yeah, I haven't actually heard that story, but it makes complete sense.
And I probably did not say that very well
either. I could still
rocks, cups, pebbles, sand.
I know. I relate to anything with pebbles in it, so it's a good story. I've had to do a lot of the similar changes around stuff like social media and exercise and, yeah, being more present and like having boundaries in place. And it's a constant challenge in a way. And I talk about it a lot on the podcast, actually, in various different ways. But my husband and I are always having to kind of check in and make changes and shift things up, because it has a way of creeping back in if we're not careful.
That's I totally agree. I think the same. Yeah. And I think the other thing was also that was really important to me was just accepting where I am right now and being totally happy and totally cool and totally fine with that. Like there's a goal, like a really being happy with where I'm at in my art right now. And in the beginning, because I felt like such a beginner and a baby in it, I felt like that was a cause of a lot of the stress, was, you know, wanting to be amazing, but not knowing how to even run an art business, like to run a business, I suppose. And like, I was thinking just this morning about like as a gym example, like I set a goal last year that I wanted to be able to do one pull up. And I couldn't have the energy in my arms to even get halfway up. And I thought doing a pull up is the world's most impossible thing. And if anyone can do a pull up, they are like superhuman beings. So I want to do one pull up. You know, I wanted it so bad that I was like stretching my neck like an ostrich to try and like get my chin over the bar, and I'd end up pulling my muscles in my back, you know, because you just wanted it so bad. And they were like, no, you've got to like take it slow. You've got to like start with the bands and work your way up. And so eventually now I can do 3 pull-ups, but it was like the slow, steady, being slow and steady and kind to yourself, you know, not trying to push yourself too far out of you.
That is such an important message, because there's just so much that we as artists are trying to wrap our heads around. And, you know, we're just sometimes we're in a hurry as well. And we want it all the things straight away, and we push ourselves hard, and we have high expectations that we place on ourselves too. This has been a fantastic conversation to have, because you've been so refreshingly honest about it, and it's important because there are people who are listening who are struggling with this right now. Just hearing other people say that, you know, it's okay to slow down a little bit. You know, you don't have to push so hard that you, you know, damage what's important to you, like what you were talking about with the pebbles.
Yeah, that's it. My very bad story of the pebbles.
With your analogy.
No. It'll all happen. Just being on the track, just starting and being on the track is amazing, because it's beautiful. It's so beautiful to do something that you really love. It's so beautiful. So just getting on that track and doing things is just amazing in itself. Really, and should be proud of yourself for that.
And celebrating those things and enjoying the parts of the journey. And, you know, even those early stages when you don't have it all figured out and you're trying to develop a style and all that sort of stuff. There is a beauty in that too. And I've been chatting to a few other artists on the podcast, and we've been kind of reminiscing about those days and the sort of naiveness of it all. You know, that's there true. Is something gorgeous about when you're bumbling along.
Yeah, it's true. And it's because that's actually that is kind of like the hard work at the start. It's like just getting in there, starting and just experimenting and playing and discovering what's within you. It's, yeah, that's not the hard work, but it is like work. You know, you need to like to go in there and do it and see what comes out.
So when I look at your art, I'm always very fascinated by your process and what you actually do in your studio. So what are some of the materials that you use? Can you take us through a little bit about what goes on?
Yeah, what I love the most is like so I normally always start with a flat canvas, either on the ground or on a table, and I use anything fluid, so like inks, or, you know, I love airbrush medium and golden high flow paints together. Basically, it's just random action. So I'd start splashing or like dripping and pulling water through the paint, and then the paint just starts moving itself into these really cool natural sort of looking flowing shapes and patterns and textures. And sometimes I might drop things into it to make more textures, like, you know, feathers or some sort of plastics or some, you know, anything, print making mark type things. And then that sort of dries, and then maybe I might add some more. But it's really intuitive, you know, because, you know, with that, in being just going with what you're not sure what's going to happen next, and you're just going to be present and then just see where it goes. And that's my favorite, because I feel like it's not too perfecty. It's just, you know, and I can't recreate some of the things I make because they're all so accidental.
Yeah, there's a beautiful unpredictableness to it all, isn't there? And I really enjoy working with fluid paint as well. It's sort of up there with my favourites because you just never quite know what's going to happen, and it's very freeing.
Yeah, and the water moving and the colours just bleeding through the ink is really, really beautiful. So then when the paint's dried, that underpainting, then I like to like go into it and sort of pull out like the essence of the painting, like to simplify it and pare it down. So it feels like because it makes some of the textures and all the shapes kind of pop, and it kind of, and the white space around it sort of gives them a lot of energy. And I love that feeling of just only just leaving what is essentially what needs to be there, like tidying it up, like a little Zen garden type of thing in my head.
I imagine that the two sort of parts of the process have very different energy.
They do, yeah.
Because you've got that playful beginning, splashing things around, and then there's that refinement and the meditative process of isolating different parts and using that white paint that you use to block it all in. So, yeah, I love that sort of combination of energy as well in my work. And so, it's gorgeous that you've got that play and then that meditation as well.
Yeah, your work resonates with me, and it's a similar thing. It's just like, oh, I love that organic, natural. Yeah. It's like it sort of just happened.
Yeah, that freedom that you see. Because I went onto your website, and you had you have these words on your website where it says, "Pare down to the essence, but don't remove the poetry." And I thought,
yeah, I love that.
That is gorgeous, and it's just such a beautiful description of your work, you know, the way that you leave those little gems and treasures there, but you just simplify it and get rid of what's not needed.
Yeah, and I mean, that's probably my whole metaphor for everything I do in life, because I just seem to clutter and fill my life up with silly thoughts and furniture and like we've just moved house and we had like three boxes of cables that I have no idea where they belong. So, you know, you just we're constantly filling our lives up with all these things, and I just love just trying to get back and just go back to what's important, what's essential, what do I really need, what's the meaning of all this.
It made me, when you just mentioned that you've just moved house, it just reminded me of an Instagram post, another post I saw of yours recently where you were painting in your laundry. Yeah. And I had to laugh because I think you said something along the lines of when you've got to paint, you've got to paint. And, and you talked about some of the different spaces that you've painted in. So where is your studio now? Is it still in the laundry at the moment?
Yeah, no, we're building at the moment, and it's about a month off finishing. So at the moment we're house sitting for friends. We just moved into their house this week, and before that we were renting an Airbnb. So we've kind of been squatters for a little while, living out of boxes. So I haven't painted for a month, really. So I had to. I'm just itching to get back in, and I've got stuff, work that needs to get done. So you just gotta set up where you gotta set up.
I thought that was really inspiring, because I think most artists have been through a journey of different spaces and places and making art in small cramped areas. And
yeah, no, it's not the dream. It's like, oh, where's my New York loft with the nice natural windows and the plants everywhere and someone playing guitar in the corner? Where's that?
We all like to dream about those spaces. Have you got a studio planned as part of your build for your new place?
I've got hopefully it's gonna look awesome. I do have to still share. I have to give my husband some of the space.
So you're very nice.
I'll try. But I really want to make it pretty and relaxing, but I'm hoping to do workshops and stuff like that. from it.
Yeah. So you're going to have enough room that you can have people come and learn from you at home, which is sounds fantastic. So what kind of studio space are you imagining? Have you allowed yourself to dream a little?
I have, but my husband keeps knocking me back with my ideas. Apparently I have expensive taste. I don't know. But I was just asking for walls. I thought walls would be nice because it's just a shed. And I was like, oh, I just like walls that are white or maybe like wooden, and I could have a table and I could have a statue. No, I wasn't interested.
You're really pushing it, asking for walls.
I know. I just want walls.
Oh, that's funny. So, I mean, your work has been incredibly well received. You've had some wonderful things happen to you in your art journey. I know you've been, you've been featured in, was it Grand Designs, The Block, Art Edit, places like that. So they're the kinds of places that many artists are, you know, really aspiring to.
Yeah. And it's so possible. It's so possible when you put yourself out there and you just, with The Block originally, I just put myself on the block shop. And so lots of people, you can apply to do like to, I thought it was a sacred hallowed territory that only like, you know, select people can, you know, try and get into, but, you know, you just, and also like Art Lovers Australia, and that, like, there's lots of online platforms that you can start selling your work, and they love, you know, receiving new artists and fresh things. So as well as galleries, and you just, if you just keep putting yourself out there, something will happen and the right people and the right will gravitate towards, you know, your thing.
So it sounds like you very actively did that. Like you mentioned earlier, you know, that you sent loads of emails, you even got used to people knocking you back and being okay with it. So it truly is like you make your own luck, isn't it?
Yeah, and even just sometimes when you go, you meet someone, you might go to an event and you just meet someone and have a conversation, and then just by going to that event and connecting with someone, something else will happen a few months back. They'll call you or say, oh, I've got another exhibition happening, would you like to be part of it? So yeah, so getting out there is actually kind of important.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of that too, like just getting out in your art community and doing things, and even those things that, you know, are uncomfortable, and, you know, doing the markets, the fairs and stuff like that, and just making connections, reaching out to people, catching up for a coffee with someone, because it's amazing the things that can happen if you just ask, you know?
Yeah. And everyone's so, you feel like you're intruding on people, but everyone's so really, I've had met the most beautiful, kind-hearted people. So it's definitely a kind world out there. You know, there might be a few little rotters, but mostly it's kind.
Yeah, I was only chatting about this the other day about how we're very lucky in the art community. I feel like it is actually a really good space, and there's a lot of support and a lot of the comparison stuff that goes on, it's actually just in our own heads. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, so true.
Because people are, you know, really keen to see other people succeed and celebrate when good things happen. And it is a lovely space. And my husband's, you know, involved in other areas, and he often comments, like, he just says, you know, the people that you hang around with, they're just so nice.
Yeah, it's true. And there is so much room for everybody to have a go. And also, once you start, like, at the beginning, I didn't really know where I fitted into the art world, because there's lots of different angles that you could be, you know. And so, you know, you could just solely want to work in a gallery, or you might want to sell your work online or different platforms, or you might want to just do fairs or like markets, or you might want to just teach, or you might just want to sell your stuff privately. So you don't know until you have a crack at some of them where you fit in that industry.
So where do you kind of place yourself now in amongst that? Have you got clarity around sort of what you want to focus on?
Yeah, well, it's taken me a little while, but I think where I would like to be, I would like to just do work like in gallery space, and keep pushing it more, like really getting into why I'm doing my work and the philosophy behind it, and like just really getting into that. But I do also really love teaching, and I really love showing people the process, because it's such a has such a, it's a beautiful way to express yourself and to let go of, because you haven't got much control of what you're doing. You can sort of let go of some of your perfectionistic tendencies if you have them. So I do love teaching, so I wouldn't mind doing some more teaching. Yeah, and I've always struggled with, should you do prints or should you not do prints, or away, you know, all these questions that you have. But at the moment, so this week, I'm just like, hey, I'm just going to focus on my practice, get back into that and start maybe do another body of work and show some galleries. Or, and I've, with the block, I've just made sort of prints for the really special pieces that have been. So I'm not doing prints of everything, I'm just kind of doing prints of special pieces that were on the block. Or, because I guess you have to figure out where your target market is, I suppose, you know, all that stuff, all those business questions.
There's so many decisions to make, isn't there? Like, chatting to you is only reminding me of that.
Yeah, so many, so many. Once you start, you just got to bite off a little bit each at each stage. But yeah, as your paintings increase in value, then you kind of get put into a different target market. I hate the word target market. It really bugs me. But, you know, it's important to know.
Sometimes I use words like strategy and like, yeah, target strategy. Market and stuff. I'm like, am I even an artist? What am I talking about? I even do it when I'm teaching sometimes. I'm like, oh my gosh.
We'll have to invent a better word.
I know. So you've sort of had a bit of a break over the last month or so. So you're about to dive back in then to some big painting sessions?
Yeah, I'm really itching and busting to get back. It was actually so good to have a break, because that was amazing. That was the first time I've had a month off since starting like 3 years ago. Like, what, having an absolute chunk of time has been really good for my brain. And now I'm, you know, you get back to that place where, oh, I just am busting, like I've got to crack open something and just get stuck into it.
Yeah, it's so good, isn't it, to step away, like just for a bit. It recharges your batteries and it gives you all this new inspiration that you can then put into practice. Have you got some new things that you're going to be experimenting with, or any sort of new directions?
Well, yeah, well, I'm thinking at the moment with our new home, I'm really excited. So we've got some empty, big empty walls, and I'm like, oh, this is a chance to just, like, I'm going to just be a little bit crazy and be a bit bold and just try and break out of some of my tightness and get a bit more loose and a bit more. And what always happens every time I start making art for myself, that's always the best stuff, and that's always the stuff that other people really like. So maybe that's the secret.
Because that, you don't have the pressure then as much, do you? Because you're just like, oh, I'm just gonna have fun with this. It's just, so yeah, I can see how that could be quite sort of opening up, you know, could open up some new possibilities. That'll be exciting. I hope we get to see a peek of it as it happens. No pressure though. I wouldn't want to put pressure on you after everything we've talked about.
No, I do that enough myself. It's all good.
It's been lovely chatting to you today. As I said, I was really happy when you agreed to come on, because I love your work.
Oh, no, I was so excited when you asked me. That's so lovely of you. So thank you. I love your work too. I'm like I've got a girl crush on you, so it's like
feelings mutual then. But yeah, and I really appreciate you sharing your story and just the ups and the downs. It's comforting to know that we're all in this stuff together. So I appreciate
that. Yeah, we totally are. Yeah, we've got to like rally around each other, I think.
So I wish you all the best as you move into your new home and get your studio space with walls.
Yay! Hopefully. I'm still working on that. But yeah, thank you. Thank you. And I wish you all the best too.
Well, thank you so much, Amika.
It's nice talking to you, Laura. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. See ya. Bye.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you, Amika, for your incredible story. It's such an important message for all of us artists, and I truly appreciate you taking the time to share it with us. If you enjoyed the episode, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. Please share an Instagram story and make sure that you tag Amika in it. Her Instagram handle is Amika Wincop. I'll have that all linked in the show notes as well.